And so, do you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatchers from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. We're glad you could join us down here in this fucking beautiful climate that we have going on in the northeast of the United States here in New York City. It's just the absolute most beautiful weather. My skin feels like it's melting off my fucking body in this horrible climate. What a disaster the capitalists have made with climate change. Wonderful job, everybody. I feel fucking great. I feel like I'm living in like a bio bubble that's like a swamp. Like a swamp is cultivated on my skin. It's like mosquitoes are growing on my skin or whatever. They don't grow, do they, Lauren? What do they do? Incubate. They're incubating on my skin.
Yeah, they incubate and feed.
They're feeding. Oh, God. Anyway. All right. Anyway, we have a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about some heavy stuff, though. We're going to be talking about the mass shootings that were perpetrated by some backward pieces of shit in Ohio and Texas in this last couple of weeks. And so I do want to, before we get any further into this episode, I do want to make sure that everyone is fairly warned that we're going to be talking about this very heavy issue. We do talk about some sensitive material, some things that might trigger some folks. We talk about sexual assault and misogyny and rape as they are part of the outlook and ideology for the people who perpetrated these mass shootings, or at least the one in Ohio. So we're going to be talking about these things. If those are sensitive to you, you may want to like ease into this episode or think about not listening to this one, or, you know, go back and listen to the other million amazing episodes we have in Dispatches. This might not be the one for you, but just be forewarned. Lauren is here with me today. What up, Lauren?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's good. Are you talking to me or them?
Everybody.
Oh, cool. Well, I mean, not guys. Could be girls.
It's like a gender fluid.
Okay.
Fuck you.
All right. Listen, thank you for...
Way to start off an episode. Yeah. I feel like I got baited into that a little bit.
Thank you for coming over to do this show with me. I know this is the last time you will be doing that after I fuck with you.
This is my farewell episode.
Lauren is here and has been holding it down real hard on the Dispatch from the Underground Facebook page. Most of the time you interact with someone on Dispatches at this point is probably Lauren because... No one really wants to talk to me anyway. And might I add that every time Lauren posts something on Dispatches, all you fucking dickheads out there in Dispatches land, everybody loves what she has to say, and almost no one ever responds to the things that I post on the page. So I've completely given up.
I'll fucking keep going, don't worry.
Thanks, that'd be great. Everybody loves the shit she posts, and everyone thinks I'm a fucking dickhead, and they don't even know.
Yeah, the best part is that only we can see what each other posts, and nobody else can.
But every time there's someone responding to it, it's Lauren. So anyway, you all know Lauren, but you don't know yet. Please stay with us up on Dispatch to the Underground at Facebook, because Lauren is doing a great job over there, and everything else I'm doing sucks.
Well, you're trying.
Yeah, thank you, Lauren. That's super nice. I wanted to say thank you to Lauren, but I'm actually going to go back and delete all that shit. I do want to say a couple of thank yous before we get too far into this episode. I want to say thanks to Gabe, who has been a strong supporter of Dispatches and been making donations to the page. Thank you very much, Gabe. Your appreciation is appreciated.
Thank you, Gabe.
Anybody else out there who has not been donating to this, there is a donate button on our website, dispatchesfromtheunderground.com. You can go there and leave me a dollar or whatever to help this fucking podcast continue. Or don't. That's fine also. But if you don't, like, you know, hopefully post this episode around, let people know that you listen to it. And, you know, that's a good solution too. If you can't put any money into it, at least you can do is help spread the word that you are a listener. Here in Dispatches, I do think that this episode is a good example of what we do. I know we haven't been posting a lot of episodes lately. Things have been really busy. We're going to continue to post this stuff. I'm going to do more episodes with Lauren. She's going to be helping out with Dispatches more and more, because the point of this show is twofold. We want to take things that are going on in the mainstream, the things that, like, you know, the mainstream media talks about, but they don't really get any depth of perspective on it. They're very superficial. They don't get deep down into it. They don't get it to the heart of the matters. We want to take those things. We want to cut right to the heart. We want to help people get some perspective on it. We want to get perspective on it ourselves. We want to take some time to think about these things over, think these things over and talk about it a little bit. So we take the first part of our first object. Ugh.
It's all right.
It's not an object at all, actually, Lauren. The first objective of every show is that we confront the mainstream and we fucking try to fucking find the nuggets of good things in there. And the second objective of every show is that we are taking the heartfelt material from deep down in the underground and we're smearing it all over your faces and hopefully getting you to better understand what's going on deep down here and hopefully get you to come down with us. Hopefully through all this, you get some perspective, you get some to be more and more conscious about the things you're thinking about, the things you're involved in, and you have a good time doing it. That's the point of the show, and I think we do a good job on it on this one. So spread the word, go to Dispatches from the Underground, make a donation. There's also a merch page. You can get a bunch of merch on there, or you could just keep listening to it. I also want to say thank you to Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com for airing Dispatches from the Underground every Wednesday night at 11 p.m. right after Tommy Unit's show. Thank you, Real Punk Radio. They're doing a ton of great broadcasting over there at Real Punk Radio. So thank you all very much. And yeah, I guess thank you, Lauren. Everybody else, I guess thanks for listening. I was going to say fuck off, but...
Yeah, don't isolate people before they start to actually listen to the episode.
Save some for the end. Okay. All right. Thank you all for listening. And we're going to talk about mass shootings today. We're going to solve the problem of violence in America. A lot of people have been talking about how to solve it.
We got it right here.
We're going to do it right here. So get down. Let's take a break before we get to this first segment from the discussion with me and Lauren. Let's listen to a tune from a band that's playing here in New York City this Saturday. We're doing a show in the basement of Brooklyn Bazaar here in New York City in Greenpoint with this incredible band, Clitorati. They're from Portland, Oregon. They're fan-fucking-tastic. I saw them a few years ago when I was in Portland. I was absolutely blown away by them. I think they're an incredible band. They're all great people. I'm super proud that we're going to be able to finally share the stage with this band. This is an early show that we're doing. If you're in New York City, come this Saturday. That's August 10th. The show is from 6 to 10 p.m. at the basement of Brooklyn Bazaar. It's a great lineup. Sister Munch, Space Bitch, Cop Out, and this band, Clitorati from Portland. Here they are. Get down.
Yeah.
Yo, Lauren, what's up?
What's up, Joey?
How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Yeah, life is miserable.
Well, you know.
Whatever. Well, no one wants a real answer to that. But good. Yeah, life is good. Thanks for asking. No one wants to hear my real answers to those things. How are you?
I'm fine. Not great.
I don't believe you. That's fine, though. Okay, it's cool. We all just accept everyone's, like, dishonest answers about these things. Like, who's really great?
Well, whenever I say I'm okay, then people get, like, worried that I'm, like, super depressed.
Who's not depressed? who's like happy about what had happening? Like, if you're happy, something's fucking mentally wrong with you. You should be depressed. All right, I guess that's not a great way to like win over an audience. I guess like
we're cool, here to depress you even more.
I'll cut all that out. Start again. Lauren, what's up?
Hey, Joey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic.
Sick. Great. Hey, let's talk about mass shootings.
Oh, God, I can't say that.
Awesome. Awesome. That's going to be great. Great. Listen, everybody knows who's been paying attention in at least slightly to what's been going on in the mainstream media, that people have been talking about guns again. There's a continuous state of mass shootings happening in the United States. I guess there's a continuous state of mass shootings happening in other places. They just call those wars, but I guess we're going to call mass shootings here. That's fine. But there was a couple of mass shootings last week. And El Paso and in my home state of Ohio, in Dayton, Ohio. My condolences to everyone in Dayton. Not just those who've had to deal with the mass shooting, but also anyone who's in Dayton. That's a fucked up town, dude. It's a fuck. Every time I've been in Dayton, someone around me has died.
What?
I'm not joking. Like, every time I've been there, someone's, not just like people I knew, but like people who are around me. Okay, it's a fucked up town.
Nobody go to Dayton with Joey Steele.
Yeah, dude. Stick away from Dayton in general. but in particular, this Dayton shooting, I think Lauren also wants to talk a little bit about the El Paso shooting. Also, El Paso, rough town. Rough town, dude.
Been to either, honestly. Yeah,
got some great stories about El Paso, but less fun than the Dayton ones. But anyway, this Dayton mass shooting was perpetrated by a musician who's tangential, I guess, in some way to the punk scene. They're in a grindcore band or what's called a...
Porno grind
band.
I can't say that without laughing. We were trying to say it earlier, and just some of the names of these bands you can't say without.
Oh, yeah. Shit, I don't have those on, but you have those with you, and we can say the names of these people in particular in a second. But before we get to that, you know, the mainstream media has been talking about these shootings, the way they talk about these shootings, talking about gun control again, as they perpetually do, as their solution to these shootings, as a way to stem off these shootings. So we're gonna talk a little bit about gun control today and in relationship to these mass shootings, but also we're gonna talk about music, because obviously we believe in radical music in no way the same that the porno grind scene believes in radical music, but we believe in making music with violent imagery. It's a radically different form of violence. It's certainly not misogynistic. Hopefully any of the people listening to this podcast aren't indulging in some misogynistic music, but we also believe in talking about these things and being conscious about them. So we're going to engage in this, and hopefully we can talk about it in a way that the mainstream media is alluding at or, you know, going around, and we can get at it in a little bit more of a succinct and better way to do it. Although I just spent 3 minutes talking about what we're going to talk about, and so I guess I'm throwing succinct out the fucking door. So, all right. Let's talk about the situation in Dayton, right? So in Dayton, this, do you have some of the names of these particulars? What was the name of the guy? Do you know the name of the Betts or Betts?
Connor Betts,
yeah. Connor Betts was a porno grind musician, although I saw a video of him singing. It was awful.
I mean, you couldn't tell what he was screaming about. Yeah. So I guess if they've got their lyrics, or if they had their lyrics written down somewhere, that'd be the only way to know what they were even saying.
I guess it's kind of ridiculous being in hardcore musician and talking about this stuff. Do you think that a lot of these people are singing the lyrics? I know grindcore musicians. They are not, the ones that I know are not singing the fucking lyrics.
Wondered that, but I'm also not a musician or a frontman, so you'd have more insight into that than I would.
I know some folks in like, oh, sorry. I know some folks in some bigger grind bands, and they know some other folk, and they're not vocalists, so they don't even care, but they're friends with some bigger grind bands, and mm-hmm. they're like, yeah, they make up lyrics after they've sung them sometimes. Like, they'll just go in and sing the growls, and then they'll just like write things that are close to it.
Okay.
It's pretty ridiculous. So.
Kind of entertaining. I mean, this guy was in... He was the vocalist for a band called Menstrual Munchies.
So stupid. What does that even mean?
So
you're at, like, someone's PMSing and then they have munchies? Or they're eating menstrual fluid?
I think they're eating menstrual fluid.
It's too bad this is not a video podcast because Lauren's face is what she explains this to me. No, Joey, they're eating menstrual fluid, you fucking idiot. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Menstrual munchies.
It's probably bright red, too. Just because this is so ridiculous. If this wasn't, like, actually based on, like, a horrible act, it would be, like, a, you know, a Hard Times article with some of these names. I mean, one of the albums that they released is Preteen Daughter Pussy Slaughter.
Oh, man. I wish we didn't say that one. It's fucked.
With
That's
cover
a song?
Art showing the rape and massacre of female bodies. Just like...
Yeah.
You can't make that stuff up.
No. I mean, you probably could, well, and yes. I guess they did, but... Let's it's tough to talk about the misogynistic stuff for a second. Let's put that off for a second. Let's talk about that a little more in the second half of the conversation. Let's talk about gun violence in the first part, first of all.
Okay.
So, like, the mainstream media is talking about the need, you know, and the Democrats and so on are talking about the need for gun control. Actually, Trump has come out and said that... video games are to blame for this stuff. So he's putting forward a solution to, you know, in some way blaming culture. What do you think, Lauren? What do you think about this call for gun control as a solution to these mess? I don't even know. We haven't pre-talked about this.
Yeah, we haven't, which is, we'll see how this turns out.
I mean, everyone's going to just guess mine, so there's no point in me talking about it. Go ahead.
You know, I actually don't have a concise answer for gun control. I'm not sure what the actual cause between the fact that there is so much more gun violence in this country versus other countries. Like, there's video games that are all over the world. Like, they have the same video games. Like, video games aren't even as popular here as they are in, like,
Japan.
Like,
Japan.
Where people mm-hmm. are actually, like, professional gamers there and go do contests. I'm sure it happens
South
here
Korea.
Too, mm-hmm. but
yep.
It's definitely not that. I feel like it's just a buildup of the tensions that are happening in this country in general. I don't think it has anything to do with the guns itself. It comes from the ideology that's coming, all the hate that's coming from all of these, you know, sides. And, you know, Trump himself just saying that we're being invaded by, you know, people of color, Mexicans, we're getting taken over. And then people take that and they happen to have guns and they go for it.
I'm going to try to steer away from that stuff, although I appreciate you trying to take my words and tell me I'm a piece of shit, Lauren. I appreciate that very much. But I'm going to try and steer again back into gun control, because some people would look at that information. I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second. Mm-hmm. Some people look at the information about Japan and, like, South Korea and how they have, you know, massive video game trends that have a lot of violent games and say, well, they don't have a ton of guns. And mm-hmm. that's the difference.
Like, yeah.
You know, so when you have these video games with the guns, then it's making a situation for mass shootings being likely.
So we're gonna get rid of the video games, but then not the guns that are actually doing the
well,
killing.
I mean, at least, you know, look, I think Trump is a piece of shit, and obviously he deserves whatever he's gonna get, but in the worst possible way. But at least he's putting forward, like, a solution that speaks to information available. Like, I don't think it should be getting rid of video games. I don't think it should be getting rid of guns. I'm all for guns. Like, I think the more guns, the better, honestly. I think, you know, and I once said this at a show in the South, I guess it was, and the entire crowd walked out, although it was, like, a couple of days after Parkland, so it was maybe not the best timing.
Ooh.
But I don't think that guns are to blame in this situation. I don't think video games are to blame either.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. I'm just saying people happen to have access to guns, but it's more of the, like, mass amounts of hate that are being filled, like throughout this country. Like, there's so many divides being put into place. So many people blame each other for, you know, their situations. Just so much racism.
But there's racism everywhere. There's racism in countries all over the world. And
I know.
People aren't mass shooting everywhere. I mean, there are mass
shootings. Do you think there's
shootings.
More racism other places than there is here?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think that there's a lot of racism. I mean, again, like it's not. It's kind of fucked up when we talk about mass shootings because there are places there are actual wars.
Yeah.
Where people are just killing themselves and are killing different races. You know, like you could talk about the racism of, I don't know, a Chechen versus like a Russian. And, yeah. You know, they're mass shootings. They just call that battle, right? Yeah. Or like, you
it's
know,
all just a semantics at
yeah,
this point.
Yeah. Well, there is and there isn't. You know, is there racism other places that there isn't mass shootings? Definitely. There's yes. definitely racism where there isn't mass shootings. There's a ton of racism in China against, like, say, the Uyghur population. I don't know if I said that right, but you can just message me later about my poor pronunciation of oppressed groups in China. There's tons of racism in other countries, in Asia, and other places where there aren't mass shootings. And maybe there would be if there were more guns. I don't know.
So I guess the question with gun control is, what would be the parameters for the gun control? That's something that also just kind of concerns me as to, you know, what would be the parameters of being able to get a gun? What would be the reasons you couldn't?
Yeah, my issue is, look, I shouldn't have a gun. Like, clearly. Like, I got anger management issues, and there should definitely be some anger management questions on that like, roster of things that you shouldn't have a gun. I also constantly am trying to get a gun on tour, and the only thing stopping me is my bandmates who are like, no, don't get
a gun.
Wait,
you've been trying to get a gun on tour?
I'm always, yeah, let's get a gun. Fuck yeah, let's get some guns, dude. It's not illegal.
I wish somebody could see my face right now. I'm just kind of horrified looking at Joey.
Why? I don't see the problem.
Because I also agree that he should not have a gun. So thank you to everybody that's ever stopped Joey Steele from getting a gun.
It's ridiculous. But, you know, I recognize and appreciate that I have anger management issues and that I also am a bit clumsy. So I might actually use the gun on myself in an accident or something. So I think that it's reasonable for me not to have a gun. But also, I believe that as long as police in this country, who kill more innocent people than any other single group in this country, as long as they have guns, people should have guns and be able to defend themselves. You know, I think maybe people think I'm fucked up for it, and that's fine. But I think about Sean Bell all the time. You know, here is a man who was shot down on the eve of his wedding, 50 shots. And he was just hiding behind his car, just trying to survive the onslaught of bullets. Imagine if he had a gun. He might actually have been able to live through that situation. And, you know, I think it's a damn shame. And I think about that all the time. And I think one of the only things that keeps the police from using more guns against people is the fact that they know that Americans are armed to the teeth. Other people would argue and say, oh, well, that's why the police are always so eager to shoot, because they think that someone could have a gun. But that's not going to go away. That paranoia is going to continue. At least there's a possibility that people could shoot back and defend themselves. That's how I look at it. People think I can hear the emails right now, people who are upset with that outlook. I get it. You know, I get that. Here's what I don't get, Lauren. I don't get how this is not being devil's advocate. What I don't understand is how liberals and Democrats out there thinks that if there were less guns, that these problems would go away. Like, it's just like, there's still going to be sickos who are making fucked up bombs in their basement and going to be blowing them up on people, whether they have a gun or not.
Well, I guess that's kind of where I was trying to go. I feel like we're on the same page with this, where I was saying, you know, there's always going to be the hate. There's going to be the misogyny. Like, that's the stem of all this. If people don't have access to guns, they're going to figure out another way to do something or something fucked up. Like, it's not the actual guns themselves. It's the people and what they're choosing to do, which all happen to be mainly white males.
You could say that with pride. You don't have to be ashamed.
I'm not. I'm just saying, like, they're mainly, I think they've actually all been white males this year. Maybe I'm missing one.
No, I think you're right. You're right.
But I think they've all been white males. And I feel like finally now they're being called, like, domestic terrorists rather than, like, oh, maybe there is mental illness. Maybe there is this. And no, they're just fucked up people doing fucked up things.
You don't think there's any mental illness involved in this?
I was actually just reading a bunch of stuff on this, too, that they're finally looking into it. And most of the people that have caused these mass shootings have no history of actual mental illness. Like, there's some depression. There's nothing out of the ordinary
Who's not depressed?
That wouldn't cover over 50% of the population.
Yeah.
So, but what they are noticing, there's a lot of, you know, they're finding manifestos either against women or against, you know, people of color. Just like a lot of them stem off of hate.
Okay. Well, we're going to get into this a little more in the second half. But you know, if you're agreeing with me that we need more guns, I think that we've accomplished a lot so far.
I never said more guns.
But you're saying you don't think gun control is the solution to this.
I just don't know what they would do other than taking away guns from everybody at that point. I don't have a solution. I wish I had a solution, but I don't know if gun control is exactly the solution we're looking for.
Mainstream media proposes, you know, these smaller like stocks, you know, where there's like smaller clips or like there's less rapid firing or limiting that.
Which I guess I kind of get, because most people don't have a need for any weapons like that.
Yeah, I agree with that. If the cops don't have them, then we don't need them.
Well, like, cops don't need them either. That's the other major thing.
Yeah, I would say as long as the police don't have them, then I don't see any reason why people need to have them. You know, and I agree. You know what I love about this conversation is that I don't think the Second Amendment or the Constitution really has anything to do with it. So what? Like, it's in the Constitution. Even if it wasn't in the Constitution, should we not talk about it or debate it because it's not in the Constitution, or it is in the Constitution? Like, who gives a fuck if that, like, dirty old paper has some fucking bullshit in there or not? The bottom line is, you know, police in this country, mostly because of the Constitution, kill black and brown people and terrify them. And I think having guns at least gives people some sense of security and some sense of being able to defend themselves when those situations arise. But, you know, again, you know, liberals would say that's causing this. You know, the fact that there are those guns out there make the police paranoid. I don't know. Maybe some sense of gun control could, like, limit the possibility. And I will say, like, in places like Baltimore or in some of the places that have really bad, you know, situations, I can see why those cities and those areas, like, they're plagued by violence so deeply, and it's hard for them to see anything other than, you know, let's just get rid of some of these things that are causing so much of this violence, and then we can talk about some of these root issues.
But, I mean, I'm going to, like, jump on two of those things too. I mean, how many people that are actually using guns are going in and buying them legally, especially if they're going to be used for obvious illegal purposes? Like, things can be traced. Just because you make something illegal doesn't mean there's access to that. We see that with so many things in this country. Making something illegal doesn't make it go away.
Sure. I mean, obviously, you know, obviously mass shootings are illegal, so it doesn't get rid of them. But yeah, it's a question of accessibility, right? So if it's like, so many guns are accessible, and making them illegal would make it, you know, it's already pretty scary to have a gun illegally in this country. You're looking at crime, you're looking at prison either way.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, it's a question of accessibility. Plus, if you put the squeeze on the manufacturers, that's the real question.
Yeah.
If you raise the taxes on these guns to be an incredible amount. Look, I'm from Ohio. I know people who have got stockpiles of this shit underneath their houses. These are people who you do not want to have fucking guns. And, you know, they got stockpiles of this shit in their houses, and they go into the fucking woods in, like, Kentucky, and they just shoot the shit at fucking mountains all day. Like, you know, there's a fucking ton of guns out there, like, fucking ton of guns out there. So I just don't see how changing the laws is really going to dramatically change things that much. Let's talk a little bit about this underlying causes, and then we're going to take a break in a second. You know, in the mainstream media, you hear very little conversation about this. You hear a little bit of conversation about white nationalists now. When you watch CNN on these things, you hear a little bit of that about that. You hear a little bit about incels. You hear a little bit about, you know, these organized misogynists who have these, you know, like, uber sick chat groups talking about these things. How are those two things related? You know, like, how are mass shootings and hate, you know, tied together? I mean, I don't understand. You know, you're saying that the underlying causes is hate, right? It's the underlying causes of these things is hate, but it's the mass shootings. Like, look, we've had misogynists for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've had, you know, deep misogyny in this country for a very long time, but you haven't had people taking and using guns to shoot down people all around them because of it.
Well, I think it has to do with women being more empowered than they were in the past, because, yeah, they were taught a misogynist, but that was the normal. You know, the people that call them like incels, what, 'cause they can't go and like buy a wife somewhere and like rape her anymore. No, you can't do that anymore. And now they're just pissed because they don't have control and they see, you know, women having, you know, equal rights or, you know, as they see it, more rights than white males, makes them angry. Same with the whole idea of the racism. It's, you know, we're saying that it's mainly these white male shooters. Now that they don't have the upper hand and more control over the rest of the population, they're getting pissed, and what they're doing is killing people.
That's a really powerful point. I think that these misogynists feeling cornered and feeling threatened by more powerful women emerging, you know, but also egged on by powerful men who are demonizing those women so deeply, people like Trump, obviously. But also then maybe I'll push it a little bit further and then you can tell me I'm an asshole again. Maybe it's okay. So they're being emboldened. They're being empowered by Trump. They're being empowered by being able to talk to other people like themselves. They don't feel so isolated because they have the internet. They feel emboldened by the fact that they're being threatened by more women, that they see more women in places of power. But also maybe they're empowered by being able to do something about it because they have guns.
Well, see, I don't think
they don't feel so impotent because they have guns.
I would disagree if they feel empowered. Like, okay. I don't think empowered is the right word. I feel like they don't feel empowered, and the only way they're doing it is by making their point by these mass shootings. Like, you know, one of the guys, the one in Dayton, had like a rape list and a kill list. There was a lot of, like, looking back on him, the one from El Paso was. He had like a racist manifesto that was written. Like, there's these words that, you know, they think that once they commit these crimes, their words get out. And unfortunately, that's true, because I would have never read part of or any of this doctrine, and it never would have come to light if these killings hadn't happened.
So it's this combination of being like of being disempowered. They feel threatened and disempowered, and so they take to this way. But they wouldn't act at all if they didn't feel empowered to do so. Like, they wouldn't, they're going out into the world and they're shaping it as their own. Like, these guns empower them.
Okay, I see what you're saying there. I guess I can't agree with that.
You know, so maybe, you know, that's an interesting point. And I feel like I actually, for the first time in my life, I feel like I can sort of see how some more serious gun control efforts might prevent someone who decides they want to take action on some of the, you know, crazy ass ideas they have to go out and shoot people. Maybe some gun control laws might disempower them further and at least keep them, you know, pushed off to the sides of the internet with some other crazy fuckheads on like dark web or something. I don't even really know what that is. So.
I've got an idea, but I would not be able to explain it.
but maybe access to guns. And I think it's good to think of these like misogynists as impotent or like an extension of their penis, and then they feel like they are empowered enough to do something about it. Otherwise, they'd just be the cowards sitting, you know, sitting off to the side, not doing anything about it. That's interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, I do like your idea of accessibility rather than, you know, checks on people or that's the only way to do it. Like, we're the only country where you can just kind of walk into like a fucking Walmart and walk out with a gun right then and there.
It's just terrifying to me that the United States government clearly doesn't care about people or shootings or people dying in shootings would give a fuck about controlling misogynist's ability to have guns. Like, I see the only thing the government caring about doing in this situation is controlling radical leftists from having guns. And, you know, groups like there's a group in like the West Virginia area. I think they're called Redneck Rebellion. I can't even remember their exact name, but they're arming you know, anti-fascists and radical leftists to have guns in case of uprising and marching with guns through the streets, marching with machine guns through the streets. And I think, you know, the government's way more terrified of that. They're more likely to crack down on those kind of organizations than misogynists. The government doesn't give a fuck about arming misogynists. The government professionally arms misogynists. They're called the police. And that's a whole army of misogynists out there with machine guns.
Yeah, police should not have machine guns.
I mean, even if they just have guns, like, I'm just terrified of the United States government having more power, and I guess maybe this like aligns me with like some right wing conspiracy theorist, which is also terrifying. But I don't see how the United States government having more laws is going to help justice at all, but also empowering people to feel, you know, safer. I don't see it. I don't see it happening. But, like, you know, I don't live in Baltimore. So, like, I guess maybe it's not my choice. Maybe they should make that decision. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a very tough one where I think I don't have a perfect solution. You don't have a perfect solution.
I hate admitting that.
Yeah, thank you for admitting it. It's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime thing you guys are doing right here. But I think it's an important discussion for everybody to have. And, of course, you know, I want to hear everybody else's opinions on this because there's probably things that we're not even thinking about or bringing up. But
yeah,
more opinions are welcome.
Well, let's take a break for a second. And let's, you know, it's because I think it gets a little convoluted talking about, you know, the arms race. So, like, let's take a break and let's try to focus a little bit more about ideologies behind these things and our relationship to this and the music scene as well. So let's take a break, listen to a song, and get right back. Get down. Let's take another little break and listen to another tune. This is a tune from a band called Fat Heaven here in New York City. They're so talented, super incredible pop punk band. My band Cop Out will be on tour with Fat Heaven August 15th to the 24th. Actually, not all those dates are Cop Out even going to be on that tour. But Fat Heaven will be on tour in the Midwest from August 15th to the 24th. Cop Out will be playing some of those shows because the very talented Gayla, who is the drummer from Fat Heaven, is also the drummer from Cop Out. We are very lucky that she was willing to join us in Cop Out. She's simply incredible and a phenomenal drummer. And I think you're all going to love Fat Heaven. So let's listen to a tune from them. Here it is. This is Fat Heaven from New York City. Get down.
Pick up the suit from the laundromat. Set the alarm before the sun. I'm killing time from behind the desk. Counting the seconds till I'm done.
I want to do two things in this next conversation. I want to be able to talk about some of the things you brought up between ideology and mental illness, like this space between those two. And I also want to make sure that we get to talking about music and responsibility as well, because obviously we're punks. We believe in punk music. We believe in making radical punk music, even violent radical punk music. And I know the mainstream media is talking a lot about, you know, violence in music, and I think no one is going to be able to speak to that like we will in this podcast. So I want to talk about those two things. But before we get to the music issue, I want to talk about capitalism, because at the beginning of that last segment, we talked about, first thing, how depressed we are living in this disgusting country at this time where just seems like there's no hope, and everything seems so bleak. And there's no one who is clearly like leading us to a bright future worth fighting for. And there's all these other people out here, and look, it's capitalism that does that to us. Like, we go to our jobs, we get hollowed out by our jobs, we see no opportunity for any real growth to this world. In fact, we see it sinking into fucking, like, you know, an ocean or whatnot. We see no future, and so we feel hollowed out by capitalism, and, like, obviously, everybody's depressed on some level. Maybe not consciously about that, but like on some level, that's bleak. And so they feel depressed, and they feel like there's no hope, and they are angry about it, and they also are hateful about it. And because they've been neglected, deep educations and profound intelligence, or, you know, not intelligence, but they've been neglected, you know, training on any substantial level from education systems that have neglected them deeply and kept them away from theories and ideas, that they turn to what they see as causes of those things, and they're not the true causes of those things, whether they be anti-Semitic or misogynistic or racist. I'm not excusing them. I'm just saying, like, people who are blaming, who are scapegoating others, they obviously, they're responsible for their behaviors. Obviously, they should be held responsible for their behaviors. But I just see them as not being that far away from the rest of us who see capitalism as the solution to that. And I feel like they're just waiting for us to help them understand that, you know, the people they're scapegoating aren't the real problems. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's capitalism that's also responsible for people thinking that, you know, other people are the problem rather than the capitalistic society. Like, I've had this conversation with a bunch of people where, you know, you're blaming the people coming over, you know, from Mexico. That's why you need a wall, because they're stealing your jobs. And, you know, you're pretty well off. But when you look at it, when somebody is just making it by and not having to live paycheck to paycheck, they're seen as, you know, very well off. And, you know, the real people that have the majority of the wealth, like, want them to see, like, not realize how much of the wealth these people have. Because they're the actual problem, not the people that are making, you know, less than minimum wage, that are stealing the jobs that half the country doesn't even want. It's the people that are making that a possibility, that have billions of dollars, and just deflecting. Because if you're hating the person next to you, you're not going to have time to hate them.
I think the way you said it was a lot more articulate than what I said, because I don't want my words to come off as excusing people's racism. I'm not excusing it. I'm just trying to understand it. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a professor in college once, and we were talking about racists in class. It was a U.S. social movement history class, and I was talking about how illogical racism is, and the professor stopped me from talking and said, "That's not true. Racism isn't illogical, and it does us no good to talk about how illogical their outlook is. It's a purely logical way of looking at things. It's just a wrong way of looking at things. It's just like they're not skipping over steps of logic. Mm-hmm. They're just looking at things short-sightedly, or, you know, with a messed up perspective or with a selfish perspective, instead of really trying to find solutions to these things that can help and benefit all people. They're just looking at things from their own personal skewed, you know, biased perspective."
Yeah, and I feel like it's also just on a very, like, more local and microscopic scale rather than on a macro global scale, especially in this, you know, age of globalization. Like, you have to look at it as, like, a whole entire world, not just, like, the people in my town. I don't have a job, but this person that I'm assuming is illegal because they've got a different color of skin has a job.
I just see that this connection between these two issues that you brought up, like, this rising climate of hate, this, like, you know, this deepening, I don't think it's actually a rising climate. I just think it's having more exposure, and it's being exposed more. I feel like, especially in the punk scene, we've seen that there are Nazis around for a long fucking time. We all know what anti-fascism is, you know, because we've had to be on the front lines of it for a long fucking time. And now everybody else is just starting to learn about it because it's being, you know, exposed more because we have a president who's a fascist and so on. And same thing with misogyny. Like, it's being exposed more because we have a president who's, like, you know, an open misogynist.
Yeah, I mean, they feel safer, unfortunately.
And they feel safer, and they have more avenues to be outspoken and get their ideas across. And I see a connection between those things, being in the light of day, and, you know, the deepening sense of mental illness that creeps on us all from capitalism. And I just see a connection between those two things, and I just feel like if we as leftists, even radical leftists, would do more work on both those fronts of appreciating people's depression under capitalism, but also appreciating how short-sighted, petty people turn to scapegoating, you know, people weaker than them or people in a, you know, more fragile, sensitive position than them, how they're scapegoating their problems onto them. I feel like we could turn those people around. Like, I feel like, I'm not saying, like, organized Nazis or organized incels or something like that. Those people are too far gone. But, like, you know, the people who are just, like, thinking those ideas in the back of their heads as they, like, go about their day.
And that's why, you know, everybody's got those relatives they don't get along with, you know, they've got those kind of ideologies, you know, engaged with some of those people. It's going to be uncomfortable. You might get into fights, but, you know,
hopefully
somebody
they
will
don't
be.
Have a gun. Hopefully they weren't
or
able
you
to buy
both
a gun.
Need guns.
yeah, right. Put your guns on the table and be able to talk this thing out rationally, like good old Americans. God. Yeah, all right. Maybe we've seen some flaws in our gun control argument. But I do think Lauren's point is the conclusion of what I'm talking about. Like, I do think that leftists and radical leftists, we all too often write off backward people because they have, like, you know, we hear trigger words and we're just like, that's it. We cut them off. And we're like, they said fucked up shit. And like, that's it. Burn them. Burn them down. Yeah, fine. Burn them down if you want. But like, what's your point?
It doesn't help anything in the end.
Yeah, maybe they're fucked up. Maybe they're dangerous and they need to be disempowered.
Okay, I'm saying as a blanket statement, that doesn't help anything. Of course, there's some people, like you were saying, there's some people that are going to be too far gone.
Yeah.
You won't be able to engage everybody, but I feel like the majority, you know, could have a chance. I'm not saying you can change people. Not even every, you know, not even one, but what's the point if you don't even try?
And I feel like this goes on two sides with leftists, you know, like we're on both sides of this. On one side, we don't engage people who we think are too far gone. And that's too bad because I don't think that for a lot of those people, they are too far gone. I think there's a lot of hope for us to turn them around. But on the other side, we also like so much like put up with bullshit in the leftist communities because we think they're on our side. And so we're like, oh, it's okay. They're down. It's not a big deal if they fucking say fucked up shit. There should be more fluid opportunity for us to confront backward shit without it all getting out of control, mm-hmm. without like having to cancel someone or also without having to feel impure because you're like criticizing. I mean, I just feel like it's all fucked up. And, and we all either don't take ourselves seriously enough or take ourselves too seriously at the same time, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So let's talk about this guy in Dayton. Let's not even say his name. I guess the media is now talking about like not repeating people's names, and I think that's fine. I forgot their name, so it's easy for me to forget who that was. But this fuckhead from this misogynistic porno grind band. Oh, God, it's so stupid to say that word, porno grind. Grindcore is in itself fucking ridiculous, and I'll take all the emails you want about that dumbass genre.
The other word was gore grind, I think, too. It's gore grind or porno grind were the two, apparently. It says they're interchangeable, but I don't know, and I honestly don't care.
I think porno grind is like more explicitly misogynistic, and gore grind is more like just violent. And I think, look, I love shock punk music. Guar is like one of my favorite bands of all time. But here's the difference between Guar and these other bands. Guar is dressed up like interstellar monsters and they're spewing cum onto the crowd. Like, it's clearly a joke. Plus, any band who puts out an album called America Must Be Destroyed, okay in my book. and I actually think that they do take responsibility for a lot of their content, although some of the things go a little too far. But whatever, it's like clearly outrageous. These other guys are just like dressed up as fucked up dudes and saying fucked up shit, and they're all saying it's a joke and it's disgusting. But I will say there's a Vice article up about these bands on our Dispatches from the Underground page, on our Facebook page. And one of the things that they say at the end of the article is that this guy who was a mass shooter, he was a self-proclaimed anti-fascist. And he had some sort of ties to Antifa in Dayton or in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here you have an outspoken misogynist who says fucked up shit about women, who is allowed to, you know, claim some sort of anti-fascist tendencies. And no one seems, who knows, maybe they did, but no one in the anti-fascist community is confronting these people. You know, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, look, we do anti-fascist shit because it's necessary in this country at this time. I don't think it's the height of all ideology. Anti-fascism is holding back the far most backwards people possible. But it doesn't mean that you're like a good person. This just means that you're holding back the most fucked up people. You know, and you could be a misogynist and an anti-fascist. It's possible. Here's one. They were in a porno grind band. They shot up the place in Dayton. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not trying to shit on anti-fascists. I am very proud to see anti-fascist stuff all around the place. And we are anti-fascists here at Dispatches. But it's not the height of an ideology, okay? So, you know, people should...
Just because you're against the worst doesn't mean you're...
Very good. Yes. It doesn't mean you're very
good.
You're
not the worst.
Yeah, you're just super against the worst. Yes. You might just be one small goose step in front of the worst. Okay.
Still not the worst.
No, still not the worst. But that being said, let's talk about music because, you know, what responsibility do we have as musicians or as people who are actively involved in the punk scene to deal with these fucked up bands?
Well, I thought it was interesting in the article where one of the guys, also it's interesting to mention too, that the person that was the shooter, they did say, was just the front man and performed these songs. He did not write them. The guy that wrote them or, you know, was part of writing them was almost defending the music, just saying, you know, we thought it was fun. We thought it was shocking. We didn't really mean anything by it, but I feel like you take on somewhat of a responsibility when you are going to go on a microphone and perform for people, and you have to be held accountable for what you say. And really in general, but even more so when you've got a microphone and on a stage.
I didn't even know that he didn't write them. He didn't write them, huh?
No, he just performed them.
Oh, wow.
They at least for the one band that, you know, they're interviewing the most.
Yeah, Menstrual Munchies.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. His bandmate from Menstrual Munchies. Yeah. Can't forget that one. Yeah, great alliteration on that one. M&M's. Mmm, delicious. Menstrual Munchies.
God.
I'm still not really sure what that means, but thank you.
We already talked
about it. I'll go back to the own podcast and listen to your explanation again.
There you go.
Yeah. It's I get stuck on the fact that this is the only guy they could fucking find a Cookie Monster their song. This is the only guy that is this the only guy who would go up on stage and like sing.
Probably the only guy that wanted to be the front man for Menstrual Munchies.
Okay. Yeah. Right. I guess you had to be a little bit nuts. To
I mean, if
get
somebody came
that.
To you and said, "Hey, Joey, we just lost our front man. We're called Menstrual Munchies.
Yeah.
What do you think?"
I would say I got a couple ideas of some people you can go to. Pretty clearly. Yeah. You see what the guy from Anal Cunt's dead, I think, already. But yeah, check out what he's doing, I guess. Anyway, yeah. What, you know? Clearly, I wouldn't have anything to do. Look, We on Dispatches, the reason we make this show, the reason I make the music that I make is because I believe 100% that what you take in through your ears, the music you listen to, should be as conscious as possible. It should be in line with the future of the world you want to bring into being, because it will come out in other ways if you don't. I'm not saying like burn down or set fire to the things that you disagree with. But I'm saying, like, we should consciously strive to promote conscious music that is in line with the world we want to get in, mm-hmm. get down with. I listen to other bands that I don't agree with. You know, one of my favorite bands in the world is Thin Lizzy. I don't think they're fucked up or anything like that, but they're obviously not in line with the world I want to bring into being. It's just music. That's fine. It's, like, you know, relatively, not offensive or whatever.
Yeah, and I feel like that's one of the ways that... the guy in Menstrual Munchies was trying to portray, like, the porno grind scene was just, oh, it's just for fun. It's just, you know, for this. It's like, there's a big difference between, like, you know.
Thin Lizzy and Menstrual Munchies. That's a big jump there.
It's yeah. a big jump. Or even that, you know, between just random pop songs that people are like, oh, it's a catchy tune. It's one thing when, you know, kind of nonsensical lyrics or just, you know, for fun lyrics. And there's another when it actually calls for, you know, raping and dismembering and killing women.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, one of the things they talk about in the Vice article, one of the other band members from Eminem, let's just say Eminem. No. Let's just try to minimize the Menstrual Munchie references. One of the other things that they were talked about is the fact that they have a community, and that's sort of disturbing to think about on one level. Like, you know, we take pride in the fact that the underground scene, we have some sense of community and that we look out for each other and that we're there for each other on at least on some level.
Mm-hmm.
And we make music that's relatively in line with each other ideologically on some level. And the idea that there's like a community of fucked up, rape singing misogynists is disturbing. You know, it's I'm disturbed by that. Like, I guess I always thought it was possible, but I never really thought about it much.
I'm disturbed by that, but then the Vice article made me feel a little bit better when they were talking about how it is a scene, but it's actually like a very, very, very small scene at that. Like, there's one of the better known bands in, was it, I think it was Germany, they were saying only has like a, you know, 1,000 followers or something, which is still 1,000 more than
they,
you know,
should.
We would like for the porno crime scene. But it's a community, but it seems like it's a small community. Still a very bizarre community.
Super bizarre. Super disturbing. But what do you think, what responsibility do we have? Like, should we be burning their albums? Like, should we be afraid of this music? Should we be shutting down these shows? I mean, I know a lot of anti-fascists who would probably call for shows like this to be shut down. I don't know. Like,
I mean, you can't understand what they're saying.
they're dressed up in only Santa Claus hats. I guess it's like, what real damage? Look, there are fucked up, there are super fucked up bands in the Northeast who sing fucked up shit. Like, should we shut their shows down? I don't know. It's hard. It's a hard decision, thing to talk about. What responsibility do we have as people who are like somewhat related? We're making similar music. We're both in underground, you know, culture. We're both like making, you know, in some ways violent music, heavy punk music. Like, what responsibility do we have to stop these folks from existing?
That's an extremely difficult question.
Well, answer the question, Lauren. I don't know what to tell.
Oh my god! Well,
Do you want me to go?
Yeah, you go first, and I'll respond.
We have had. I don't think that the main thing that any radical who believes in conscious music, who believes in left wing punk music, who believes in community, left wing punk community, should primarily be shutting down these things. Primarily, I think our goal is to go into these spaces or make music that attracts people from these spaces to our left-wing conscious spaces and make room for them. Like, you know, like figure out how to bring them from these dark, you know, caverns of whatever the fuck they're into our places. And I'm not saying like make them comfortable, make them fucking backward-ass ideas, like have comfort. But I think it's like, you know, how do we invite them across the aisle and help them shed those bad ideas? And that's what I think we need to do. And partially that's like going back to the beginning of this segment where we talked about like speaking to the issues that they see as problems, and also like appreciating the fact that they want violence. Like, I want violence. I don't want violence against women because they're women. I don't want violence against, you know, races. I want violence against an institution that oppresses people, capitalism. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's why I make the music I make, and that's why, you know, some people would say my music is violent and radical. And they wouldn't, I don't think they'd be entirely wrong. And it worries me a little bit when people start talking about shutting those things down, because I think it's a short jump in some logic from shutting them down to shutting us down.
Yeah,
content were very different, obviously.
I would agree with that. It gets kind of tough where I agree with you with inviting people in maybe as like individuals, like don't exclude the individuals from the scene. But I mean, I really don't want to see, you know, a ticket with all torn up and menstrual munchies
together.
You. I had to.
Threw up in my mouth a little bit. That fucking era. Oh my God, it's so fucked up. I literally just threw up my mouth. I can feel the best from munchies just jumping right back in my throat.
Oh God.
I don't know if I'm using that term right.
I hope not. So I do agree with letting individuals in, but you also need to be protective of the spaces, because a band like that, then, if you could understand what they were saying, would make, you know, women in the crowd uncomfortable. I wouldn't be comfortable being
Definitely.
At a show like that.
Yeah, and, you know, All Torn Up, to be clear, like, we have made sure that we've never put on shows that would make put our crowd that would come to see us in danger, you know, and especially in the beginning that was difficult, and it was easier as it went along because we were able to pick and choose like what shows we did and who we played with. But it was tougher earlier on. It's tougher sometimes on tour, but yeah, definitely we need to be responsible. Yeah, I guess that's a good point. Like, we need to be responsible for making sure that our shows are on some level safe from these fucked up ideas. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe we're not like inoculating them against fucked up ideas, but we're like more or less safe. Yeah. So I think that there's got to be some responsibility for musicians to deal with the most fucked up elements of the things that are around them. Like, it sounds like Menstrual Munchies, like, all jokes aside, it sounds like they were clearly fucked up. And, like, people should have been should refuse to play with bands that have songs about raping women. Like, that's a very simple fucking thing, you know. With Punk Island, like, that's the bottom line. Like, no, for us, we have a couple simple rules. Two of them being no far right-wing bands and no bands that promote rape or misogyny. Like, those are not hard lines to hold.
Well, I wonder if that's what drove them to even having, like, a porno grind scene. Because, you know, anybody that came up with these bands, no other band wants to play with them.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, again, I'm not saying I want to, like, have those bands invited, but it almost then caused them to form their own scene, and they're all just kind of agreeing with each other. And, you know, it's with any kind of far off group, they all are just kind of yes men to their own ideas, and nobody's, like, gonna stand there and be like, wait, this is really fucked up what we're doing. They're all just kind of patting themselves on the back.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that this group is like 12 dudes in the Midwest who, like, sick of it all, not sick of it all. What's the fucking band with the clown people and they bang on the kegs?
Wait, what?
The band, you know, they dress up like clowns and they play metal and they hit the kegs.
Hit the kegs?
Yeah. Like Slipknot. Oh. It's Slipknot. I got sick of it all in Slipknot. I'll cut that out, don't worry. You know, I feel like these bands are just like, these bands are just like, you know, Slipknot's not fucked up enough, and, like, so now we need, you know, more misogyny, and, like, Anal Cunt was right, and, like, you know, my concern is that the mainstream is going to take the rightness, the correctness of, like, not censuring these bands, but, like, refusing to encourage these bands. I think that's the way to put it. Mm-hmm. Like, refusing to, like, you know, give wind to these bands. Like, I think the mainstream media is going to, like, take that and be like, yeah, well, we should also not let people sing about killing police officers and also, like, encouraging violence against capitalism or against right-wing misogynists. Like, all violence encouraged in music is all the same, and we should all just stop it.
Yeah, because that would be the path that this government would go towards.
Yeah, and that, you know, that makes me nervous, you know, and I think that is, so, like, it's not okay to censor these people, but it also, at the same time, isn't okay to, like, just let them be.
Well, that's why I think it goes back to what we were saying with our duty is, like, being more radical people in the scene, is to not completely close the doors to these people, you know, see if we can figure it out. Granted, we don't agree with them, but maybe try to get them to be on our side, understand what they're doing is fucked up.
There are people going to listen to this, Lauren, and say, like, Joey and Lauren are soft-ass motherfuckers. We should go in to a Menstrual Munchies show and just beat the shit out of everybody and, like, make sure that they know it's not tolerable to like, sing about rape.
Well, I mean, they're from the Midwest. They probably have guns.
Okay, then we should go in with guns and we should mass shoot a Menstrual Munchies show.
Okay, now we need to delete all of this.
No, but, like, you know, we're joking, but, like, you know, there are people who are going to say, like, look, it's not okay to give any space to these people. We just have to crush them in whatever way you want to put that out. And, you know, I know a lot of my friends would think that, and who would disagree with how we're talking about this.
It's just, it's tough just to say outright crushing, because then where does it stop? Which goes into a lot of the problems that, like, the left-wing culture does have with, like, you know, people get so hung up on, you know, being completely PC all the time on every little thing and end up cutting so many people out of this, where you don't want to get too far into that, because it causes more problems and inner fighting than fighting the real problems, which we stated before, things such as capitalism.
Yeah, I think we leave it there. That's great. Cool. You hit the nail on the head. So people have to figure out how to respond to that. I'm sure people are going to continue to be, you know, to stomp these things out. And, like, I get it. I don't think that's the solution. And I think, you know, Laura just said that's not the solution. Hopefully people see a way to peel people away from these fucking backward ideas, because until we do that, until we could speak to them and peel them away into our world and understanding our ideas and to understand our outlook, we're not going to solve these problems. And we're just going to push them further and further away into further and further darker holes where they feel like the back against the wall, and if they just had a couple of guns, they could solve that for themselves. Mm-hmm. So if people are really trying to solve these things, hopefully they listen to Lauren. Yeah, maybe some alternative songs. I don't know. You can go figure that for yourself. All right. Thanks for getting down here, Lauren. I appreciate it. I feel like this is a good one. It's a good talk.
Yeah, definitely.
Any last words you want to put?
I feel like we covered everything, but I would encourage anybody that listens to this to shoot us a message and tell us
Shoot us a message!
No. Oh, jeez. Okay.
I'll cut that out. Yeah, don't worry.
You can leave it.
Go ahead. Do it again. I'll cut that out. Go ahead.
I can't.
Don't shoot anybody. Listen, I want to encourage people who are listening to this podcast, please don't shoot us at all. Actually, I want to encourage you. Lauren might want you to shoot us. I don't want you to shoot us at all, actually. Go ahead, Lauren. Have your last say then.
Can't stop laughing.
Yes.
All right, you can send us a message or leave us a message. Tell us if you agree or disagree with, you know, what we're saying, or give us some of your own insight, because, you know, the more people that get involved in this conversation, the better. And yeah, like Joey said, don't shoot us.
Get down. All right, as this is my podcast, I can play whatever the fuck I want all the time, and that includes playing my own band. So here is a tune from my band, Cop Out, which will be on tour in August 15th through, I think, the 22nd we're playing with Fat Heaven. Their tour goes a little bit longer. You can go on our Instagram or our Facebook page and get all the details about this tour. If you are in the Midwest, we would love to see you. We'll also be on tour in October, playing with some bands all over the Midwest. So make sure you catch us at one of those shows. But here, let's see. I'm going to play this song that I love so very much. This is a song called Kingdom of Woe. And it is about how every day at punk shows, we get to see these incredible communities coming together for a few hours, and we get to be around all these people we have so much in common with. And then it just sort of dissipates after the punk show, and we just have like this momentary interconnection. And it's simultaneously the best thing in my life, and also super sad because it like dissipates after a short period of time. So it's about how incredible those moments are that we share together, and how we should keep doing them and not let them slip away so easily. It's called Kingdom of Woe, but Cop Out. You can get it on our Bandcamp page. I actually don't even know what the fucking Bandcamp page is. I think it's copoutpunks.bandcamp.com. But whatever. Something, cop out something, whatever. Anyway, Kingdom of Woe, get down. That's the end of the episode. I want to say thank you to Lauren for coming all the way out here and doing this podcast with us. Thank you very much, Lauren.
Thank you for having me, Joey.
As always, super insightful. In fact, actually, if you could just rein it in just a tiny bit, so it'd be less insightful, so I seem a little more impressive.
Next time.
That'd be great. Super appreciate that. Lauren, well done. Thank you very much. Also, everybody out there listening, actually, thank you very much. I know I said I was going to say fuck you, but actually I really appreciate all your feedback and all your commentary and all your thoughtful things that you're sending. The donations that we've gotten, the donations I'm sure that will flood in after this podcast has resolved the mass violence issue in America. I appreciate all the interaction. And, you know, the last couple tours I've been on, people have come up to me at the merch tables in a lot of different cities. And I said, they listen to Dispatches and they appreciate what we're doing. And that is so heartwarming to me. I really, really appreciate that. It means a lot. And it's what keeps us doing this podcast, because it is absolutely not making any money whatsoever. So there's that reality as well. But thank you all very much. We will be on tour. Cop Out will be on tour this summer. We're going to be away August 15th. Into the 20-something. This is a short tour we're doing with an incredible band, Fat Heaven. We've been playing songs for that tour all episode. You've been hearing some songs from that tour. So if you go to the Cop Out Facebook page or the Fat Heaven Facebook page, you can find out the tour information of that. We'll post it on Dispatch from the Underground as well. But we will be in the Midwest, and also Cop Out will be on tour in the Midwest again, with some bigger bands that have yet to be announced. We're going to be doing a Northeast tour with some bigger bands in October. So check that out. We'll see you all very, very soon. If we're not going to get to your town on this run, we'll get to your town very soon. And, yeah, come hang out. And we're doing some other stuff with Skullcaster too. We're doing some weekend stuff, in the Northeast. And, we're playing an incredible fest up in Canada, in October with Skullcaster as well. So check all that shit out and go to us on dispatchoftheunderground.com. There's a merch section. There's a donate section. And on Facebook is the best way to get a hold of us. But you can also hit me up on Instagram. I am Joey Steele, like the metal, NYC. Lauren, do you want to give out your Instagram or?
Sure, that's fine. It's Lauren Judith R.
Lauren Judith R. Can you spell Judith? Because I feel like that might be above our pay grade.
J-U-D-I-T-H.
Okay, no. That's, yeah, I feel like that. We all knew that. Hello. All right. Lauren Judith Judith R. On Instagram, and Joey Steele NYC. Yeah, hit us up. Let us know what's going on, and we'll see you all in the very near future. Lauren, any last words?
No, that's it. Get down.